how's this for a superpower? Reading every single Marvel comic book. With some exceptions, it comes out to somewhere in the neighborhood of 27,000 issues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of comic books, a fan of Marvel comic books in particular? Do you have a favorite Marvel character, storyline, writer, or illustrator? Have you been a fan for a long time, or do you just pick it up? Is it multi-generational in your family? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Douglas Wolk has written about comic books, graphic novels, pop music, and technology for a variety of publications. He's the author of the book Reading Comics, How Graphic Novels Work and What They Mean. Douglas hosts a podcast called Voice of Latveria. His new book out today is called All of the Marvels, A Journey to the Ends of the Biggest Story Ever Told. Douglas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What led you to do this, this Herculean task? There's so many comic books you read. I mean, five-digit numbers of comic books. Why?
It's a lot. Well, it really started about 5 years ago. My son had never been too interested in superhero comics. We'd read other kinds of comics when he was a kid, but I was putting together a presentation for a class I was teaching about the history of American superhero comics, and he said, "Oh, I see what this is. This is a complicated system. I like complicated systems. Hey, Dad, I want to read all the Marvel superhero comics." So I was like, "Okay, fine. This will last a week. It'll be a nice week we have together." And then, you know, 4 months later, he read everything up through 1968, and he was about to read more. And I was like, huh, I wonder what would happen if I read all of them. I wonder what kind of story that would tell.
And it is a connected story. There's a Marvel universe or multiverse, I guess. That's the amazing thing here. Going back to the beginning, they're kind of all in the same world, loosely speaking, right?
Yeah, it is 500,000 page story. All 27,000 plus comics that I read take place in more or less the same world. Any one of them can refer to anything that was earlier in the sequence. They're all at least supposed to be pretty much compatible with each other. And there's this history there. It is a fictional history, but it is a history and a world and kind of a bizarre mirror image of the last 60 years of our own world.
And this is Avengers and X-Men and Spider-Man and Thor and all these different characters. You make a point of saying in your book, it's not all good. Some of the comic books really don't stand the test of time, if I'm reading you right.
No, they sure don't.
What were some of the low points, or what were some of the things that you thought maybe this one wasn't worth rereading?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of stuff that it's just, you know, it's kind of hack work, or it doesn't really fly anymore, or it's not so interesting anymore. But interestingly, this may be Stockholm syndrome talking, but after I'd read a certain amount, I got to the point where there was something I could enjoy in just about any comic, no matter how bad it was. You know, oh, this is an artist doing that thing they do. This is a writer doing that thing they do. Oh, that's kind of cool to see. This is a terrible comic, but I really like seeing that character being that character. So I learned to adapt. I adjusted.
I don't want to focus on the negative, because clearly you have a lot of love for the genre at its best. What would you tell someone who's not a comic reader, especially not a Marvel comic reader, what they can get out of the art form?
It's such a, you know, if you read just a few comics, you know, you might get a fun little adventure story. If you read 100 or 200, you start seeing how all the pieces fit together, how it becomes not just a story, but this whole enormous matrix or honeycomb or mountain of stories that all bolster each other and all reflect each other. And then if you start reading a whole lot, you see how the entire amazing fictional world fits together. It's a lot like watching the movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, you can just watch Black Panther on its own. It's fantastic. You can watch an Avengers movie on its own. It's really fun. But if you watch a whole bunch of them, you see the interconnections, and that's where the magic really happens.
We are talking to Douglas Wolk about his new book, out today, All of the Marvels, A Journey to the Ends of the Biggest Story Ever Told. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a favorite memory of reading a Marvel comic book, whether that was 50 years ago or this morning. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Margie is with us in Milwaukee. Margie, hi.
Hi there. A great topic. I have a problem. All 16 of my kids and grandkids are dressing up as Marvel characters for Halloween. They've all picked a different one. It's all coordinated between Thor and Wanda and Winter Soldier and everything. And I want to be one, too. And as the matriarch with silver hair, I'm having trouble finding one. Oh. I wanted to be Hippolyta. I wanted to be Hippolyta, which is Wonder Woman's mother, but they said, Grandma, that's a DC. Right. That's not Marvel. So help me.
Okay, there's your mission, Douglas. Make Margie look like the coolest grandma on Halloween.
The coolest grandma on Halloween. Honestly, you could be the comics version of Agatha Harkness. The gray hair is perfect for that. She's played by Katherine Hahn in the WandaVision TV show, but the comics version is kind of the classic gray-haired, I know things you don't kind of magical entity. That's a great one. And, you know, Hippolyta is around in the Marvel universe too. The entire Greek pantheon, the entire Roman pantheon, basically every mythological pantheon is part of the Marvel story. It's just something interesting that happened a long time ago that somebody within that world wrote down.
Margie, thanks so much. Good luck with Halloween. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Douglas, a question popped in my mind reading your book. And when I read a little more, it's a question you get asked a lot, it turns out. If somebody wants to get into the Marvel Universe or back into the Marvel comic universe, what are some good starting points?
That's a really good question. It is a question that I love to weasel out of because there is no one correct way into the story. You can start pretty much anywhere. Go to a comic store or a bookstore that's got a good comic section or a library with a good comic section and just see what catches your eye. And enter the story there. You will be confused at first. That's okay. That is a feature, not a bug. If you're engaged by the story, it doesn't matter if you're confused by it because you will get to find your way out of confusion. And that's the most fun thing.
That's the thing. Like, given that there's so much history behind it, people worry, and I would worry about, you know, I'm going to be at a loss. I don't know all this history coming into it. It ends up being like a soap opera, though. You get on the ride wherever you get on, and eventually you're going to understand what the important backstory was.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, it is a soap opera, but imagine if there was kind of a three-dimensional matrix of soap operas that all kind of linked to each other. So it's overwhelming and it's forbidding and it's baffling at first. And then you spend a little while in it and everything just kind of starts to click into place in your mind. And that's enormously fun.
The bulk of your book is looking at certain themes or certain superheroes or superhero groups and kind of going through some of the highlights, the key moments in their evolution. The Fantastic Four is one of the ones with the longest histories. Can you share a couple of the key moments in Fantastic Four stories?
Yeah, I mean, Fantastic Four has been running for just over 60 years now. It started in August of 1961. So it's been going for a while. And it is a story about a family of adventurers. And when it is at its best, it is a story about family and family bonds. There's a wonderful story that I kind of have at the beginning of the period where, the beginning of the section of the book where I'm going through individual issues and talking about them. It's very early on, it's from 1966. It's a story called This Man, This Monster. And it's centered on two things. One of them is The Thing, who is this enormous rocky monster who is one of the heroes of the story. His body has been turned into, he looks like a big pile of orange rocks. Mm-hmm. And he's standing in the rain and he's feeling sorry for himself. And then somebody steals who he is and steals his identity. And that's half of the story. And the other half of it is just an exploration into this insane, unbelievable, imaginary space, which Jack Kirby, the artist who co-created the Fantastic Four, he doesn't even draw it. He puts together a collage, a photo collage, and draws his characters inside that photo collage. And it's absolutely wonderful and mind-bending. And he says, this is the junction to everywhere. Perfect. That is exactly what it is. That's an early highlight of it. Later on, there's a period in the 1980s when there's a writer and artist named John Byrne who's writing and drawing it himself, and it's just lovely and fluid and funny and suspenseful, and it's really under one creator's control, which is not something that happens very often with Marvel Comics. It's very rare that a writer and the artist are the same person, but that's another period of that series that I really love.
We're talking to author and Marvel Comics fan Douglas Wolk about his new book out just today. It's called All of the Marvels, A Journey to the Ends of the Biggest Story Ever Told. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of Marvel Comics, a particular super group or superhero within the Marvel line of comics? Is this something you read as a kid? Did you keep going? Did you pick it back up as a grown-up? Or do you think, hey, maybe it's time to get into it or back into it? Share your favorites at 800-642-1234. Got a favorite villain? Love to hear about it. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now with author Douglas Wolk about his brand new book, All of the Marvels, A Journey to the Ends of the Biggest Story Ever Told. He read all of the Marvel Universe comic books and shares some highlights and thoughts on it. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan or were you a fan of any of the Marvel comics over the years? Did movies point you toward the comic books? Did movies let you down compared to your favorite comic? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Douglas, one of my takeaways from reading your book is you don't want comics to be kind of this walled community of true, real fans. You are hoping to bring anybody into it at whatever level of engagement they want. Can you talk about that a little?
Absolutely. There's this idea that comics are this kind of cloistered, gate-kept community. I don't think that's really the case. I don't think it should be the case. I think the only job that gatekeepers have for comics is making sure the gates stay wide open so everybody can come join the fun. There are comics for younger readers. There are comics for older readers. There are all sorts of things that are available now and in the past. There's more that's available now than ever before. There's a wider variety of stuff than ever before. And I love this art form, and I would love for more people to be able to enjoy it too.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Rory is with us in Galena, Illinois. Rory, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up,
how
Rory?
How are you, sir? Well, personally, for Marvel, you know, I'm a fan of John Byrne, Chris Claremont, X-Men across the board, but Frank Miller, Daredevils were pretty much about it, because his first artwork was Incredible Hulk Annual number 11 with Unis the Untouchable, which nobody noticed. The guy was 17 when he did it. And then he did Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man, but then he got to take over Daredevil with after Roger McKenzie, and did probably, he created Elektra, killed her, brought her back, beat the hell out of Bullseye, which, great costume, the guy deserved it. And then he moved on to DC and did a great job with the Dark Knight, all of those, and then came back to Marvel and did another rebirth of Daredevil and did a fantastic job.
Rory, thank you so much for sharing that. And that reminds me, Douglas, that's one avenue you suggest people might pursue. You might say, okay, I like the X-Men, and I'm going to keep read all the X-Men. You also say, find a favorite artist or a favorite writer. Could you talk about the joy of doing that and maybe following them from one comic to another, maybe even one company to another?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the thing about Marvel's comics, the thing that is different about superhero comics from mythology, which they sometimes get compared to, is we know the names of the people who have written and drawn pretty much all of them. We know the creators responsible for them, and we get to see those creators' hands in the work. If you have a favorite artist, you can look at one quarter of an inch of a panel that artist drew and tell that artist drew that one, that pair of artists drew that one. It is a particular person's eye and hand. That is the particular magic of comics. Frank Miller, who your caller mentioned, is a fantastic stylist who did all sorts of amazing things. So did David Mazzucchelli, who he worked with. There's an enormous visual range of comics. I love tracking particular artists that I like. I love Erica Henderson's work. I love Walter Simonson's work. There are writers like Al Ewing who I will just follow to absolutely anything they do. They're so thoughtful and so interesting and so specifically them. And that's the thing that you don't even see so much in movies and TV shows. You may be able to name directors, but there's not a lot of people who identify particular favorite writers, particular favorite cinematographers. And yet, that is at the core of comics, particular writers, particular artists, and the alchemy between them.
Rory, thanks for that call. Go now to Jordan with us in Madison. Jordan, hi.
Hey, guys. What a great topic. This is fantastic. I've been a longtime fan of the medium in general, graphic novels, comics of, independent source and major publishers. And I think that your guest, what a great book to put out, because there is a big honeycombed larger universe, but you can really jump in at any given point if the art strikes you right, or the narrative, once you start reading it, gets you kind of percolated in thinking to some degree, you kind of get brought back to it, and you can find other characters that you might gravitate to or relate to better than others. I think that earlier, when you were talking about Marvel, the early comics and stuff and the history of it, I think what really made it stand apart from the other comics of its period, like through the early 60s and forward, was that it was empathetic. It really touched emotional levels that were relatable to people on the street, people that actually would pick up a 25-cent comic and just page through it, but it would be something relatable to the present.
Interesting. Jordan, thanks a lot for that. Douglas, do you see that Marvel is maybe creating this this relatability for their heroes?
That's a really interesting way of thinking about it. And thank you, Jordan, for that question. I think the idea was that there's this sort of piece of received wisdom that Marvel had the relatable heroes, the human heroes, the heroes who are not like the untouchable gods. Well, Marvel also had Thor. Mm-hmm. Marvel also had, they had their Iron Man, they had their millionaire superheroes, but they had Spider-Man, who was just a teenage kid who got bitten by a bug and it ruined his life and changed his life and he didn't know what to do about it. That was an extraordinary thing for its time in the early 1960s. And what you see going on much later, especially with, for some reason, the X-Men comics, people identify very, very strongly with specific X-Men characters, with specific characters in this group of comics. And it becomes part of your life, your world, seeing this kind of other self operating within the story and thinking about how you relate to that character. That's a really special, almost magical kind of thing.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jordan. We're talking to Douglas Wolk about his new book. It's called All of the Marvels, A Journey to the Ends of the Biggest Story Ever Told, looking at the vast history of the Marvel comic book universe, which he has read pretty much all of it. Back to your calls now. Eric is on the line in Madison. Eric, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to make a comment because when I was a kid, someone gave me a 2-volume set of Marvel origin stories.
Oh,
and I apologize that I can't remember the name, but it was 2 volumes in a sort of a book holder kind of case. And it had the X-Men, it had Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Thor. And I remember reading those. It was all the original origin stories. It was also the original artwork from, essentially episode one, if you will, from each of those. And I remember reading those over and over and over. And it was a really great way to sort of get introduced to those. And then you're able to go out and find, the ones that you like best, the sort of along the lines of the conversation you guys have been talking about. So I thought you might know about that, and I thought that might be helpful to other folks who wanted to kind of introduce their kids, grandkids, whatever, to the Marvel Universe.
Eric, thanks for the call. And Douglas, you talk about this. We end up with book form comic books a lot more, too. What do you think about Eric's origin story?
Eric, I love that. I think you're thinking of Origins of Marvel Comics and Son of Origins, which were published in the late 70s. Fireside Books, Stan Lee wrote the introductions to all of these reprints of stories from mostly the 60s and early 70s. There were a couple of others in that series too. One called Bring On the Bad Guys.
That I had that.
Was all villain stories. And one called The Superhero Women. And you can still find copies of those books floating around online. They're fantastically entertaining.
Eric, thanks a lot for that call. In our last minute, Douglas, I mean, this was in some ways a chore to get through all of these, but also a labor of love. Are you able to now go out and find a new comic book at the comic book shop? And do you still feel that joy in it?
I absolutely do. You know, I thought when I finished this project, like, oh, I might need to take a little break from Marvel. I might need to just read some prose books for a while. The prose books have been kind of piling up on my shelf. And then the next week, I, you know, went over to the comic book store, and there was a new issue of X-Men. Like, what am I going to do? Not read X-Men? Sure. So, in fact, all the X-Men comics, I read them every week when they come out still. I'm a lifer. That's my life now.
All right, I'm picturing your house. Are there just heaps and heaps of comic books, or do you have a system to where they come in and then they go out again?
Oh, no, everything is immaculately, perfectly organized. Yes. And spotless, and there are no piles of things anywhere. That's what it is.
I love it. Douglas, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Douglas Wolk, author and host of the podcast Voice of Latveria. We talked to him today about his new book. It just came out today. It's called All of the Marvels, A Journey to the Ends of the Biggest Story Ever Told. Still time for you to share your comic book origin story. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know if you're a big fan now, if you were in the past, if you've gotten back into it. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear your favorite comic, maybe your favorite super villain along the way. I don't know why I keep going back to that. I guess I like the villains.